top excitement with new movies and summer blockbusters. Don't miss Becky, an action-packed thriller brought to you by Redbox Entertainment, starring Lulu Wilson, Kevin James, and...
Life for me was hopeless, my heart was full of gloom. I no longer had a family, darkness was my friend. Life was not worth living, I had reached the very end. Then came Jesus with compassion in his eyes. I never met a man like this, no, never in my life. He spoke with so much power, and he set my spirit free. I cried, oh Lord, I love you, please let me follow thee. With just one word my chains fell off. I had a perfect mind. Everything is different now, my past is left behind. I have now only one desire, and that's to follow him. But Jesus speaks to me and says, go home and tell your friend that you met Jesus. He had compassion in his eyes. You never met a man like this, no, never in your life. He spoke with so much power, and he set your spirit free. I cried, oh Lord, I love you, please let me fall. Let me follow you.
Hallelujah. What a sermon. What a sermon. I don't know. I hope you got that one as good as I did, because I loved it. I loved it. And welcome to Open Bible Dialogue. What a day this is going to be. We're going to have a great broadcast. I'm here to tell you, we're going to have a great broadcast. I want to deal today with the truth of the gospel, the truth of the gospel. And I want to promise you prophetically that the truth of the gospel will shine again. The truth of the gospel will shine again. Can you believe that? Can you join me in faith and confidence that the truth of the gospel is going to shine again? That God in his faithfulness will never fail. The truth of the gospel will shine again. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at what's happened. We live in a day when the truth of the Bible is precious. The truth of the Bible is so rare that it's precious. Now, you got to hear me. The truth of the Bible, the real old-fashioned, fundamental, basic truths of the Bible are so rare. They're just rare, and they're so rare, they're precious. I love this Bible. I think I must love it more than I've ever loved it in my life. And I was saved in 1952 and started out learning to read with the Bible. I couldn't read when I was saved. I learned to read with the Bible. And from that hour, this Bible has become precious to me. And here I am, 84, and I'm memorizing the Bible more than ever. I'm asking God to heal these eyes. And if he allows me to have a thorn in the flesh to keep me broken, okay, then I'm learning the scripture by heart. I'm practicing now memorizing scriptures one after the other because I want this book written in my life. Now, I want us to get back to what we're going to do today. The truth of the Bible is precious. The truth of the gospel is precious. Very precious. Now, I'm going to start out today in a few minutes, and I'm going to take you through a list. I'm going to take you through a list of dark stuff that has been propagated in Charlotte. I think Charlotte must be a mecca for false doctrines. It must be a mecca for all kinds of religious superstition and religious insanity, if I can call it that. I'm telling you, we're going to talk about those, starting back with Jim and Tammy Baker, and following through numbers of the false stuff that has come through this city. It's been incredible. I've been here 50 years, and I'm telling you, I've seen it. I've seen everything. And I've stood for this Bible truth over and over, and there's nobody out there that knows Joe Chambers that cannot agree. I've just stood on the Bible. I've just stood right here in the middle of this book and declared the Word of God, and I've never wavered from the Word of God. I've given prophecies at times, and they've come true. You remember it was 10 years before the election 4 years ago that I told you over and over that Hillary Clinton would never be elected president. And I knew that. The Lord had told me. And when he tells me something, I know it. Now, if he tells me who's going to win the election in November, I'll tell you. I don't know that he's going to tell me. But if he does, you'll find out right here on Open Bible Dialogue. And I'll make sure I tell you. But right now, I just want to get in this Bible. And I want to look at the truth of the gospel today. The truth of the gospel. Do you know the fundamental truths of the Bible are the most precious things in the world? Someone said to me just recently, well, what's your theological position? I said, well, I'm a fundamental Baptist and a Holy Ghost-filled Pentecostal. I'm a fundamental Baptist and a Holy Ghost-filled Pentecostal. When you go back to old-fashioned Baptists, the fundamentalists, they were really wonderful. Some of the greatest came out of fundamental Baptist preachers. Or you remember some of them if you are anywhere close to my age. Probably most of you don't, but I do. I love to listen to them. I really did. Mays Jackson was one of them. I can't remember anything special about him except he was just a good old-fashioned fundamental Baptist. That was all you could say. And there have been some great Pentecostals, wonderful men. I was taught under some of the best there ever was. I mean, when you talk about Ray Hughes and Wade Horton, R.P. Johnson, and numbers of those men, they taught me and they poured themselves into me. And if I'm anything today, I am a compilation of the great people that I listened to in my early years. The great messages I heard from gospel preachers, men that love the Word of God, men that believe in the absolute truth of the Bible. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and let's listen to Apostle Paul. Now, he represents fundamental truth right at the core. He represents the old Pentecostal. I can say, yes, he was Pentecostal. He represents all of that. But he represents all of the good, let's say, fundamental believers that I've ever known or ever read after. And I read after all of those who preceded me, some of them by hundreds of years, and searched to find what was truth, and searched to learn the holy things of the Bible. Now listen, Apostle Paul. Chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Notice he said, the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. For I determined not to know anything among you. the heart of his message, the root of his message, the centrality of all that Apostle Paul said is right here. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness. Now notice this. This is the heart of a God-fearing preacher. This is the personality of a God-fearing preacher. You find a preacher that's heady and high-minded and headstrong he's a showboat. Then you know you need to get away and leave it alone. Get far from it because it's going to go deeper and deeper into error. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. A real man of God will tremble, brother. And he don't ever quit trembling. The older he gets, the more he trembles. The more he loves this Bible, the more he trembles. Because he knows that theology is not learned in a book in a seminary somewhere. Theology is not found out by listening to some educated moron. The truth of the Bible is found out by living in the book. Living on your knees. Find you a place to pray. I used to say when I would preach to ministers, if you go somewhere to pastor, then go to the altar of that church and draw you a circle. Big enough for you to wallow around in. And get in that circle. And you stay there till God takes over your life. You stay there until God reveals himself to you. You stay there until there's a mighty revelation. Let me tell you, I had a call this week from a man who's got his law degree. And he's been in religious settings, and it all got him discouraged. And so he got off out of the way, and now his life's in quite disarray. And an uncle that has our material had him to call me. And I listened. I spent longer than I normally do because I sense a genuine man. His first name is Chris. And I'm telling you, I told him when we finished talking, now listen, you're in a mess. You're down at the bottom of the pit. Now you get you a Bible and go somewhere. You're at your dad's house. You got food to eat. You got a bed to sleep in. You don't need to worry for a little while. Get in that bedroom and open the Bible to the book of St. John, and you stay in that book of St. John. Don't read my material. Don't read nobody else's material. Get everything else out of your mind, out of your thoughts, and just get in the book of John. And you stay there until Jesus becomes real to you. Stay there until Jesus becomes real to you. And I said, when Jesus becomes real to you, he'll pick you up where you're at. And he'll carry you in the right direction. For you will learn his voice. Did you know a man that'll do what I just said will actually learn the voice of the Lord? Until when Jesus speaks to him, he'll know that he's listening to the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. I was with you in weakness, Paul said, and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom. Wow. My preaching and my teaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. The worst thing you can do is follow a man or a woman. The worst thing you can do, follow this Bible. You'll find some good people you can listen to and enjoy and love, respect. But your priority must be to follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. So he says, and I was with you in weakness, fear, much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now that's Apostle Paul. That's, if this man, Apostle Paul, is not at the top of the theological spectrum, then nobody in the world can be there. This man was God's man. He met him on the at the outskirts of Damascus as a Pharisee of the Pharisees, as an educated man. He could speak five languages when he was but a upper teenager. Five languages. This man was intelligent beyond my ability to describe it. But he met Jesus. Oh, he met Jesus. That makes the difference. If you haven't met Jesus, then you haven't met the source of your salvation and the source of your hope and the source of your faith. But he's available. He's waiting right there for you to get on your face, on your knees, get in that Bible and stay there till the Lord becomes real to you. And I always suggest the book of John because the book of John is a book of his divinity. It reveals the divine nature of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God. The divine nature of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith," now listen, "that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." That your faith should not stand in the wisdom, notice that, of men. Never forget talking to a wonderful friend. He was an attorney. He'd been an attorney for Governor Martin when he was the governor of North Carolina. I met him in Governor Martin's office. Became great friends. He was from Charlotte. Oh, I'd love to give you his name, but that wouldn't be fair to his wife. I'm sure she's still living, family. So I won't give that. But I'm in his office, and he said, "Brother Chambers, you got to accept this doctrine of limited atonement. This doctrine of limited atonement. You got to accept it, Brother Chambers." I said, "I don't believe it. I'm not going to accept it. I'm not going to even dare go in that direction." See, he was a Calvinist. He'd become a Calvinist, and here he said, "I got a book here." Now listen, this is what he said to me. "I've got a book here. If you'll read this book, I'll guarantee you, you'll be a Calvinist when you get through." I said, "I'm not about to read a book like that. My faith don't stand in the wisdom of a man. My faith stands in the wisdom of God, in the Bible." And so I think every theological system there ever has been has tried to coach me into their system. They've tried to convince me that my theology was all messed up. I remember Harry Reid, a precious man. I loved old Harry, but he was a Calvinist to the heart, to the root. I mean, to the root. And I remember him just almost, he was just determined to make a Calvinist out of me, and he didn't have a lick of chance. There was no possible way. I was rooted in the Bible. When you get rooted in the Bible, nobody can change you from that. That's the heart of your life. And I remember, I really liked him. You know, a Calvinist, in most cases, are post-millennialist. They believe they're going to set up the kingdom. The church world's going to set up the kingdom and bring Jesus back. I believe in the pre-trib rapture. I believe Jesus is going to come and get his saints and 7-year tribulation. Then he'll come back and set up the kingdom. And you can believe that's in the Bible as plain as the nose is on your face. And so I said to Harry one day, I said, "Harry, you know, I like you. You and I have become real friends. Let me ask you, when Jesus comes to rapture the church, and I know you don't believe in it, like I do, but would you let me ask him to please go by and pick you up? Because I hate for you to get left here to go through that dark tribulation period." Because we laughed together. We were friends. He wanted to convince me. I wanted to convince him. So it was two hard heads buttoned together, and neither one of us changed. He didn't change. I am not about to change because I know the truth. See, my preaching and my teaching is not the wisdom of men, but the power of the gospel. The power of the Word of God. I love this Bible. Do you know that? I love it. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. "Howbeit, we speak wisdom among that are perfect, yet not the wisdom which is of the world, and that which is come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." You know, that's the beauty of the Bible. See, if you study your theology in a man's book, you're going to get messed up. If you get on your knees and open this Bible and go nowhere but to this Bible for your theological thinking, you can find the truth, and it's available. And notice what he said, the mystery. See, the word mystery in this usage doesn't mean some mystical book. It's not a novel that's been written on a mystical story. No, this Bible is a book that you know only by the revelation of God. And that's what the word mystery means. In the biblical context, it means that which you cannot know by somebody's book, by somebody's theological stance, by somebody's standing, by somebody's great wisdom, by somebody's great intellectual knowledge. No, no, no. Your truth is known by the mystery of the Bible. That means you learn it by the revelation of God. You learn it by the revelation of God. There's not a one of you sitting out there that cannot know the truth as well as Joe Chambers has ever known an iota of it. I have nothing of which to brag. I'm as common. I am so common, I'm uncommon. I'm right down at the bottom of the theological spectrum when it comes to great knowledge and great abilities and great this or great anything. But I belong to Jesus. And I belong to this Bible. And I live in it. And I believe it's true. And I stand on every word of it. Forgive me, I'm stumbling there. I stand on every word of it. It's wonderful that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Listen to me. If your wisdom, your faith is in some man that you lack above all others, then you're probably all off the key button. I mean, you're probably all off the beaten path. Get out of somebody else's wisdom and get in your Bible. The Word of God is an absolute truth, and it never fails. I'm being careful. I don't want to say a lot of things that I could say. I've talked to so many different people in so many different spectrums, and thank God I've known them. So many of them, from Jimmy Swaggart. I mean, Raven Hill, Leonard Raven Hill. I got to meet him some months before he died, and we became real brothers. That was a wonderful opportunity for me. Leonard Raven Hill. Anybody remember his great books? I mean, some of the greatest. I've met so many. Tim LaHaye and I became the best of friends. And he would say to people, if you want to know the last word of theology, prophecy, I should say, you always go to Brother Chambers. That was so kind of him. I don't deserve that. I never have thought I deserved that. But I love this Bible, and I love the truth in this Bible. And I'm not going to turn, neither to the right or to the left. I'm going to stay right in this book. I was Church of God 40-some years. I didn't leave them because I didn't love them. I didn't leave them because there wasn't many wonderful people. I left them because they left the bedrock of the Bible. And I wasn't going with them. I'm not going with nobody that doesn't stay in the bedrock of this book. This book is bedrock. This book is bedrock. Do you understand me? It's the bottom of the testimony. It's the best. Let me read on a minute or two here. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them of perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, but that which is of God. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Oh, I love that. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Are you hearing me? When I say the wisdom of God in a mystery means a revelation from God. It means what God has opened your heart to grab and understand. And I know you can get off the beam this way. You can get mysteries from a lot of sources beside God. That's why you keep the Bible as the bedrock. I don't care what a spirit says to you. I don't care what an angel says to you. I don't know what some other high and mighty says to you. If it doesn't match the infallible truths of this Bible, rightly divided, then it's just wrong. It's just error. That's all I can say. There's nothing else to say. Let me read another. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now that is Paul. But not, listen, let me read that again. Let me got to be careful. Which none of the princes of this world, none of the princes of this world, these are the high and mighty crowd. These are the people he knew in the great system of the Jewish theology. These are the people he was taught under Gamaliel school in Jerusalem, the best school there probably was. Did you know? In my research, I found out that Gamaliel, the man that Paul learned under, is not named in the theological system of the Jewish people because for some reason they marked him out. His son's there, his father's there, but not Gamaliel. You know why? Because he turned to Christ and was wonderfully converted and became part of the New Testament church. I believe that with all my heart. I don't know that. I don't have some background to document it on, so I'm just giving you my opinion. That's one of those first Chambers, chapter 3 and 10. You understand that? That's just one of my ideas. All right, let me read on. And none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they known it, had they really knew the mysteries of God, the Jewish faith would not have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the difference between human learning and the revelations of God. Human learning and the revelations of God. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears have heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Oh, that verse is a clincher. Oh, great day. My folks, my friends, the truth of the gospel does not change. This modern generation cannot change the Bible. They can write 1,000 translations. They can take the King James and turn it into all kinds of context and all kinds of texts and all kinds of ideas, but doesn't alter a thing. The King James is not what I depend on. It's the textus receptus behind the King James. The King James came out of the right text. That's why it's so good. It came out of the Textus Receptus and the Masoretic Hebrew, and you can depend on both of those old texts, and you can still buy them. They're hard to find, and they probably cost you an arm and a leg, but I'm here to tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, that truth stands the test of time. Truth stands the test of time. When God said in Psalms 12 that the word of God would not fail, not any generation, all the way down to the end, he meant what he said, and the word of God is still right here available, and you can stand on it, you can live in it, you can walk in it, it's pure. Now, I want to go a little further, because I want to talk a minute. Now, what did I move here? Oh, I hope nothing has been changed. All right, let me go back here. I don't know. These things happen. These things happen. Okay, everything's fine. I just hit the wrong button here. All right, get over here out of my way, son. That's the mouse that I'm getting out of my way. I want to tell you, friend, we've got so much to be excited about and so much to be thrilled about. It's just really overwhelming. It's beyond measure. There's no way to describe all the beauty and all the wonder that we have and that we enjoy. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to go back a little bit, and I'm going to listen to you. I got the phones fixed where you can call me, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. I want to name some of the religious things that have come through our city. These are religious things. Charlotte has been a Mecca. You understand what I mean by Mecca? All kinds of religious precepts and concepts and human opinions. And I want to name some of them. I don't know them all. Many of them are smaller and less important. Some of them are big, like what I'm going to talk to you about. For instance, Jim and Tammy Baker. Probably no two people have ever come to Charlotte that spread as much poison as they spread. Now, didn't start out bad. They in the background of their life were genuine. I believe that. I don't think they were two mean people. There wasn't two people out to deceive people. No, there wasn't that. It was just what happened when you become famous and your name gets too big for yourself to handle, and your whole program becomes beyond your mind, and you get all these people who come in and use you and make a champion out of you, make an idol out of you. I mean, all kinds of things happen to Jim and Tammy that much of it is not their fault. I really can understand how you can become big in TV like that, and slowly you dissipate, and slowly you slip away, and the damage, the end time damage of the whole thing was a mess. Absolutely a mess. I remember they came to me to interview me when it was going down the pipes, and I said, the problem is big time religion has replaced old time religion, and that's what it was. Big time religion had replaced old time religion. Well, Jim and Baker is gone. I think he's still living. I'm not sure of all of that. But the next big one was Rick Joyner. He's still alive. He's got his books. He's affecting the world. I'll never forget the first time I picked up an article written by him. I felt demons. Felt demons. I actually took my son and went down to where his headquarters was, and he was there. And he was over in his big mansion, in his big office. And I said, can I go over and talk to him? Yeah, you can talk. And I went in his office, and I said to him, Rick Joyner, you're full of the devil. Rick Joyner, it is demons that flow from you. It is demons that do all this talk from you. Your books are written in demonology. I mean, you are a satanic person. and your doctrines are as false as the devil is false. I told him to his face. He didn't like me much. I can understand that. But I'm telling you that that kind of big-time religion has destroyed. I wonder the multitude that would read a Rick Joyner book. I can't believe it. Anybody would read it and would say something's wrong. Well, we're talking about a world that does not know the Bible. They don't live in the Scripture. They live in everything but the Scripture. So you got Jim and Tammy. You got Rick Joyner. And then you, there's several others connected with all of that that have been at different times in the downfall and uprising and downfall and uprising up and down of that whole scheme that Jim and Tammy started. I mean, it's overwhelming. But it was, they made a Mecca out of Charlotte. People came here from everywhere because they were overwhelmed. I was in his hotel myself. We even did my leaders did a banquet there at the end of a school year, a junior senior banquet in the hotel, and it was a fancy place. It was nice, and all the time, of course, I could feel that things were going backwards, down, and of course, you know the story. And then after Rick and Tammy, and then Rick Joyner, I mean Jim and Tammy, and then Rick Joyner, look at Elevation, the church called Elevation in Charlotte. It is absolutely nothing but a rock and roll outfit. They don't preach a lot of bad things, but you don't go by what they preach, you go by what they don't preach. And I'm telling you, that is another picture of a dark force that has come through Charlotte. Now think about that, Jim and Tammy Baker, and then Rick Joyner, and now we got Elevation. I guess they're still big time. I don't really know what they're doing in this Elevation, in this pandemic moment. But then you got Calvinism. I mean, Calvinism has made a Mecca out of Charlotte. And Calvinism is a false doctrine. It is a system that is absolutely based on absolute error. There's no such thing as limited atonement. If you want to be saved and you're willing to turn to Christ, He'll save anybody listening to me. I don't care how deep in sin you are and how far from God you have wandered. You can come back. Did you hear the song at the beginning? Sung by my friend Jimmy Mathis. That song was gorgeous. I'd heard it many years ago and forgot about having it. And I played it because it was the story of the demoniac across the Sea of Galilee in the country called Gadara. And Jesus showed up and he came running to the shore and met Jesus and was totally saved and transformed, wanted to follow Jesus. And the Lord said, go back to your family, go to your home. So a great doctrinal truth, really outstanding, and you got to understand that. So that was Calvinism. I mean, they would say, "Oh, that man probably can't be saved. He lives in the tombs. He's demonic." Let me tell you something, friend. When you come to Christ, you turn to Him, He'll save you. I don't care what's going on in your life. And then I look at all the charismatic. See, the charismania made Charlotte such a Mecca. It went through the city. I mean, from one end to the other. I tried my best to get involved with them. Everywhere I'd go, I'd meet something that didn't make sense. I mean, over and over and over. And I finally said, it's a waste of my time and going back. So I just departed and left it alone. I'll never forget one time they were having a breakfast up at the rescue mission in Charlotte. I used to go there and preach a lot. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. Until they hired a big-time mental psychologist to run the place. And then I said to him, "You want me to come there and preach?" And he said, no. "Didn't want me to come there and preach. Turn it over to psychology." So they psychoanalyze these alcoholics that come in there. What a shame. See, all of this is so sick. This is dark religions that's made a Mecca out of Charlotte. And so a charismatic. Oh, what a big time they had all over Charlotte. All kinds of meetings. Where is it today, huh? Where is it today? I mean, it's passed away. I'm sure there's some little bit of it still clicking somewhere. still doing what they started out to do. And then you're talking about so many things. I remember how the charismatics would teach you, if you need the Holy Ghost, just start speaking in tongues. Just say whatever comes to your mind, it'll turn into tongues. I mean, it was really bad stuff. It was really terrible theology. And I took a stand. I just did everything I could to discourage it. And then here came Rick Warren and his sin-friendly church. And you can go on and on. Mecca has been Charlotte has been just a Mecca for every kind of religion you can imagine. But let me take you this morning. Can we stop? Can we stop and just go back to the old paths? Just go back to the great truth of the Bible. But truth will shine again. I want you to know that. Truth is going to shine again. I believe that as much as I sit here. All of this religious stuff that's come through the city. All these religious outfits and all their big time stuff. And all the mass dollars that were poured into those systems. You understand the money that was poured into Jim and Tammy Faye Baker? You understand the millions that was poured into that outfit? You understand the millions that have been poured into Elevation? You read the Hope You Saw the story of their preacher and how he lives in such grandeur that he could be a king. I mean, it's all amazing to me. And I have a nice little home. I built it myself, my own hands. I've got about 25% of the value in it. Because I did it. I worked hard. I built it for my little wife. Nothing wrong in having a home. But you must understand everything has got to be in order. And your theology has got to be solid. Oh, of all things that I can imagine, good, solid theology is the root of it all. Now, the gospel. Let's talk about the gospel. You see, the gospel is a beautiful truth. The gospel. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Paul said that. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Winning souls to Christ is the root and heart of the church. Winning souls to Christ. Helping people get saved. Be born again. Meet the Christ. There's nothing like that. I love the story of the prodigal son. Do you know that story? He had drifted away from the father's house. He finally got a job waiting on the pigs in some foreign land, away from all his background and his father's home, and he's feeding the pigs. And somehow he realizes, hey, there's a place for me to go home to. You know, there's a lot of you listening to me today. If you would go back to the old-timey path of righteousness and purity and holiness, if you'd give up this strange place, you've lost your first love, you've left the great truth of the Bible, you often one theological system after the other. We got preachers in our city who were raised in Pentecost, who now are Calvinists, and they're teaching limited atonement. That they're teaching that God don't care if you do little things that you shouldn't do. I heard a preacher say, if you're out on the golf course putting and you hit a bad one and you cuss a few words, God don't pay no attention to that. Come on. God cares about everything that comes out of your mouth. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Did you hear my sermon from this past Sunday? That your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that if you sin against it, he said very clearly that you must answer. You must answer. So God has called us to old time Christianity. Let me tell you about a Baptist theology that is really the same as the Methodist, and that's Lordship Surrender. The old fashioned Baptist. They didn't just teach for you to get saved. And then that you were eternally secure regardless of how you live. They didn't teach that stuff back then. They taught when you get saved, you just got started. You need to surrender your life until you experience what they call lordship surrender. Lordship surrender. You get saved and then you get in your Bible and you walk in the light as He is in the light. And you go deeper and deeper into truth until you reach the place that your life is surrendered to His Lordship. Here's an old saying they used to use. If He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. Listen to that. If He's not Lord of all, then He's not Lord at all. It's just that simple. You either make Jesus the Lord of everything, or He's not your Lord at all. How can He be the Lord if He doesn't rule all of you? If you're not under His divine auspices and guidance. There's nothing so beautiful as this wonderful gospel, my friend. It is so beautiful. Let me take you to the heart of it. Romans, they call it the Romans Road. Well, that's really not bad at all. I like that term, the Romans Road. But so many people only follow part of the Romans Road. They don't follow the whole Romans Road. Because when you follow the whole Romans Road, I'm telling you, it's beautiful. Let me read you a little bit from it. This is the Romans Road. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now. Now, this is the Lordship surrender I was just talking about. Getting saved and then going on and growing up in the Lord. I mean, becoming a mature Christian. Become a solid God-fearing, old-fashioned man, woman that walks with God, that lives close to the cross. Listen, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now listen, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, now that's the kind of old-fashioned gospel that the fundamental Baptist preached and the old Pentecostal preached. And the old Methodist preached. See, I could fit any one of those old-fashioned systems that were so wonderful and so big. Many Baptists and Methodists were filled with the Holy Ghost in their deep walk with God. I remember Dave Hunt, one of the finest Baptists, I guess, that's been around. And he said, Brother Chambers, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. He said, but I can't preach it because many of the people who are our supporters would turn away from me. He so said that to me. I wouldn't tell you that if he wasn't already dead with the Lord. But he sure told me without a question. I say, I believe in the old path. Let me take a call here. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Could I speak to one of the ladies? I want to know why you're not on. I can't get you on the radio on 1240.
Well, because 1240 is no longer on the radio, but I'm on 1150. So turn your radio to 1150.
It's not getting a reception for 1150.
Well, told me they was on in Charlotte. But do you have a cell phone in your hand?
No, I got a house landline.
You don't have a cell phone?
Yeah, I got one.
Well, then does it have an internet on it?
Yeah.
All right, then you go to your cell phone. Now listen to me, and everybody out there can listen to this. Go to your cell phone and put in paulcreek.org, P-A-W-C-R-E-E-K, paulcreek.org. That's our website.
Uh-huh.
That will come up on your cell phone.
Okay.
And you'll see a picture of our church. And then as soon as you see that, don't go to the second page. Just scroll down. You'll have to scroll down about 3 pages worth of information. And over on your left, you'll see an icon that says OBD.
Uh-huh.
Open Bible Dialogue. You click on that icon, in a flash, you'll see me right there doing this radio program.
Okay. Thank you.
And do it now and call me back if you get it. I want you to help others get the same thing, see?
Okay.
I'm so glad you called. Do you have a question?
Not right now. I got to get you on the air first.
Okay. Get me on the air and let me know you got me, okay? God bless you out there, folks. Call 704-391-0588. I've learned how to leave the button on a little bit so that I hear you when you call. I didn't know that for a while, but I got it now, and I'd love to hear from you. Because what I'm saying is big-time stuff. I'm telling you that Charlotte has been a mecca for every kind of false doctrine you can name. They are everywhere. All kinds of false doctrines. And they've come against Charlotte, but God is going to give us a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost. Now hear me when I tell you that I believe Charlotte is going to be the center of the coming new world New World outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Not New World. I might use the wrong term there. They come in Pentecostal latter rain. They come in Pentecostal latter rain. I'll be Charlotte. Could be the Sin River. I don't know that. It doesn't, you know, whatever God chooses, it's going to be okay with me. But I'm just waiting. I'm right now expecting a sovereign move to break out. Big time, big time. I'm looking for it any moment. See, the Mecca, the Charlotte has been a Mecca for false doctrines. There has been so much junk that's been through this city. Now we got so many liberal people who moved in and took over the political system. And I'm just praying for God to bring us back to the cross. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, I would like to be on the air there.
Well, you are on the air right now.
Yes, Brother Chambers.
Yes.
I know that Kenneth Copeland has hooked up with the Pope.
I know that. Most of the charismatic world has hooked up with the Pope.
And how many Pentecostals do you think in August they're supposed to meet under the Pope for a one world church?
Well, you see, that is the coming Antichrist movement. And that's where the charismatics were headed from the moment they broke out. I remember being in a meeting with the Church of God over on Wilkerson Boulevard when it was in their old campus. I was still Church of God. I was there to speak for them at a prophecy conference, and someone asked me the question about Pat Robertson. They said, what is Pat Robertson? Is he good? I said, no. He's part of the coming New World stuff. He's absolutely false. He's as false as he can be. And I blew their minds when I told them that. Well, it proved to be the truth. He built that empire to $1 billion and then sold it for his own profit. Did you know that?
Yes, I see what you mean.
Yeah, what is your question? I got started and didn't give you a chance to ask it.
Do you think some of the major Pentecostal denominations will go under the pulpit when he has his...
I don't think there's any question they will. I mean, I was Church of God, and there's some wonderful people in the Church of God. Now, I've never fought them. But they have gone so far away from the Bible and so far away from truth, I can't understand why anybody stays in it. It don't make any sense to me, but it's not my decision. It's up to God, but there are many good people that are still there. I know they love Jesus, many of them, but the system has become rotten to the core. That's the best word I know how to use. All right, do you agree?
Yes.
I mean, the charismatic world is going into the false religion of the Pope. And they've been going in that direction for years. Don't you remember the last Pope that they elected, that Benny Hinn went there to do his broadcasting for several days, I guess it was. I don't remember how long. And he was right over there, part of them. Now, I understand Benny has done some repenting, and I'm grateful to God that he has, but I can tell you the Pentecostal world is in a real mess today. I am begging them to turn around. I am begging them to go back to the straight and narrow. There is nothing so wonderful as the straight and narrow way of living for Jesus. And I'm begging them. All of them know me. And I'm disliked by many because I don't bear my tongue from telling them what's going on.
Yes.
Thank you for calling, dear lady.
Yes, thank you. Bye-bye.
I believe this is a gentleman. I'm sorry. Thank you for calling me, sir. God bless you. You know, and the phones are open. I'd love to spend these last minutes answering questions. I've named these many religious movements like Jim and Tammy Faye Baker, Rick Joyner. That's the most horrible stuff I've ever read. Anybody that would believe that stuff doesn't know anything at all about the Bible. They've just been deceived. And you can get so deceived that truth just don't even matter with you. You know what you want. You know what you believe. And so truth loses its way. That's what the Bible means when it says truth is fallen in the streets. And then you take Calvinism. Why would anybody believe that salvation is a limited matter? That there's a limited atonement in it, that God's chosen those who he wants to save and the rest can just go to hell. God's not that kind of God. Anybody there listening? Or you can call 704-391-0588. I hope I hadn't made nobody mad, but I may have. But I'm trying to tell you, what I want you to really get is God is going to move again. There's going to be a revival of truth. There's going to be a turning around in the church world. There's going to be a Pentecostal outpouring equal to the one in the book of Acts chapter 2 and 3, 4 and on. I'm telling you, God does not fail, and the Bible is very plain, and Peter made it so clear. In case I've got people listening, that have not heard me in some time, or maybe not at all. I mean, I can understand. We're constantly growing. We're constantly touching more and more people. So let's go to Acts 2, and let me read you what I'm trying to tell you right now, will you? Let's go to chapter 2. I got to read it. I want you to hear it. I want you to know this is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. Listen to what he said. He said, listen, but this is that which, I'm sorry, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, and it shall come to pass. In the last days, saith who? God. God's talking. And Peter's quoting God. I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out of my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. Now that great and notable day of the Lord come, it's got to happen before then. When is that great and notable day of the Lord to come? That's when he comes back to the earth at the end of 7 years of tribulation. Comes back to the earth riding a white stallion. You know the story in the Bible called the Battle of Armageddon. That's the battle he's talking about. And all of this has got to happen before then. So between now and the end time when he comes back to set up his kingdom has got to be this outpouring of God. Now, will it be before the rapture or after the rapture? The Bible don't say. It, I believe, will begin before the rapture. But I'm not holding the rapture up for nothing. You don't ever say the rapture can't happen till such and such and such. The rapture can happen any moment that God sends his son to get the bride. But I believe there's going to be a revival breaking out any moment now, any day. I'm looking for it every day. I was on my knees at 6 o'clock this morning. I believe I was 3 minutes late, if I remember right. 3 minutes late this morning. Slept a little bit over. Didn't wake up till 5:30. Jumped out of the bed, got my clothes on, and headed down here. I love to pray every morning. And God was so real. Oh, God was so real. And I knew, I could tell by the move of the Holy Spirit that came through this sanctuary this morning that that sovereign move is about to begin. I'm looking for it any moment. Our church is not big time right now. We're trying to get over all this stuff that's happened like everybody else. But I'm here to tell you, the revival is coming. I would not doubt for a moment that this church could be the center of the sovereign latter rain outpouring. Wherever he chooses, I just want to be part of it. I'm not looking for, in fact, every time I think about it and I begin to anticipate what's going to happen, it almost scares me because it's going to take a lot of godly people and they're going to have to be careful not to touch God's glory. You touch God's glory and he will not use you a moment further. You can't touch God's glory. He gets all the glory. We're just his children, sons and daughters. So he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Won't that be wonderful? I can't wait to see my grandbabies and my great-grandbabies full of the Holy Spirit. God using them for his kingdom and for his glory. I can't wait, your sons and your daughters. There are many godly mothers out there. Your children are just, they having such a good time in the world. They don't have time for God. Well, God's going to shake that out of them. And when this great conviction of the Holy Ghost comes, I'm here to tell you, it's going to be a different world. It's going to be a different day. Now, you say, but the chambers, do you really believe this? Well, I know it. See, when you believe what the Bible says, that settles everything. I mean, you don't ask if God's right, if God's true, if what God says is what's going to happen. No, you don't ask that question. You know, if God said it, that's going to happen. It's going to happen just like God said. Let me give you a picture. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Be patient until when? The coming of the Lord. Now listen. Listen carefully. Be patient unto the coming of the Lord. Now this is James chapter 5 and verse 7. Go get your Bible. Read it. Be patient therefore unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth. Now who's the husbandman? You know who the husbandman is. That's the Father. Go to the book of John chapter 15. Jesus said, I am the vine, my Father is the husbandman. I am the vine, my Father is the husbandman. You hear me? Hear me, the Father is the husband. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. The husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Latter, L-A-T-T-E-R. That's the early is Pentecost. The latter is what's about to happen. The latter is what's about to happen. Now, are you ready for what God is about to do? Are you ready for God to show the real, the genuine, the right, that which will be true to every word in this book, that which will meet every criteria of biblical theology, of biblical truth? Sinners won't get saved and think they can still live in sin. Sinners will get saved and run from sin and turn to Christ with all their heart. People will get saved and they won't be satisfied just to be saved. They'll be digging in the deep truths of the Bible. And the Bible says, wherever this river touches, it shall be made clean. Go to Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel 47, a great prophecy of thousands of years ago given to Ezekiel of this coming last day revival. Read Ezekiel 47. The first 9 verses are powerful verses, and they show you this river running and coming out from under the altar in the church, under the altar in the temple, in the house of God. It won't be connected to house churches. It'll be connected to churches in the house of God. The churches that are full of the Holy Spirit, where they teach the Bible without compromise. Why do you think God could use Paul Creek? Because we've never compromised this Bible. We've stood right on the solid truth of the Scripture. We've moved neither to the right or to the left. To the right or to the left. I was about to go wrong way there. To the right. Your right, which is your left, that's your left, and that's my right. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, friend, Jesus is coming. And I don't know the moment of his coming. People, I'm hearing the people getting really shook up because they see everything happening out there. It's amazing. I don't know how to describe all this taking place, but I can tell you what God knows what it is. And God is right on target. The day is coming when we're going to see a mighty move of God. It's going to be overwhelming. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be powerful. You know, I can hardly wait. I really can hardly wait. I had to get a song ready there. I want you to hear it. I'll be sharing with you in a minute. So get yourself ready. Now listen, I'm telling you, you got to get yourself ready for this sovereign revival that's coming. You got to quit playing with it. Quit playing around with your theology. Get in the middle of this Bible. Get in the truth of this Bible, friend. You can't trust anything but what's in this Bible. You got to get in the middle. You got to get in the Word. It's got to become the center of your life. You got to learn to pray. Every Christian out there needs an hour a day on your face with God. Every Christian, every preacher out there needs from 2 to 3 hours a day with God. What business do you have being a pastor when you pray 15 minutes a week? You don't have no business being a pastor. You certainly ought not be in the pulpit. You're going to give an account for that stuff you preach in your pulpit, sir. You're going to give an account when you preach the doctrines of men instead of the truth of God's holy word. You're going to give an account for that. And I'm telling you, don't you play with it. You call to preach, you preach this book. You get in this word and live in there and make sure you don't preach nothing but's in this book. Don't you preach those doctrines of this crazy charismatic stuff. Don't preach the doctrines of Calvinism and limited atonement. Don't preach that stuff. Get in this Bible and preach the gospel that Jesus is ready to save the unsaved. He's ready to change their life. He's ready to set them apart under His Lordship. He's ready to fill them with His Holy Spirit. Oh, it's a wonderful life of serving Jesus. You know, I've been saved for 68 years, working on 69, and it gets sweeter every day. It gets more wonderful on a regular basis. I have more love from Him and of Him and for Him now than ever in my life. It's a joke. It's a wonderful walk with Christ. It really is. Now, I got time at least for one more call. Could somebody please call quickly? Let me. I just love talking with you and hearing. What do you think about all I've said today? Anybody out there would like to say I like it? I believe it? Anybody who's seen this religious, it's like a religious, carnival coming through the city time after time. Look at the different religious movements. Look at these different so-called religious upheavals and so many great things supposed to be happening and just been one thing after the other. Charlotte has been a mecca for all these doctrines of religion. But I'm telling you, the true old-fashioned gospel is still bedrock material, and it's still true. And just find you a good fundamental church that preaches from the Bible, preaches the truth, teaches you to live right, teaches you that you can't live in sin and still claim to be a believer. When you get saved, the Bible says that He cleanses you from sin. He makes a new creature out of you. Old things are passed away. Everything becomes new. And let me tell you, there's nothing that will keep you in this hour. This virus going around, it breaks out everywhere. It breaks out everywhere. Most of it now is just kind of like the flu. Very few are dying from it. And the people who get it are usually people who are careless in their lifestyle. You live a clean life, a holy life. You pray much, stay on your face with God. You see, Jesus is your healer. Jesus is your healer. They don't have a vaccine yet. They may never have one, but Jesus has a vaccine. I mean, the stripes on His back are for the healing of your body, my brothers and sisters, and He cares about you. Well, here's Brother Chambers. I've enjoyed the program. I'm looking forward to preaching in the morning right here at Paul Creek. I'm making a strawberry shortcake, and I'm not going to lose this one like I lost the last one. You know, I made a strawberry shortcake about 4 weeks ago and put it in my cover that has locks on it, and you carry it with the top. And so I got my cake all ready, and I'm bringing it to the church, and I'm coming down the sidewalk out here, and the bottom comes loose and falls on the sidewalk. And I had a strawberry shortcake spread over the sidewalk. At least the sidewalk smelled like strawberry shortcake, I guess. Well, I'm going to be careful with this one. I'm going to hold it underneath. I promise you. And I got a big old pot of country butter beans. I bought it at the farmer's market yesterday. And I'm going to fill them with good fresh corn. I'm going to put okra on top of them. That's going to be on the menu for tomorrow. Well, we just have a great day every Sunday. We do. We do. And you're welcome to come to church. You say, Brother Chambers, I'm scared to come to church. Well, it's safer than the grocery store. Does that give you any hope? It's safer than the grocery store. You have to sanitize your hands when you come in. Our sanctuary is set distant. Every other pew is marked off. We don't take up the offering by passing a plate. We don't send whatever's on your hands to somebody else's hands. I mean, we really do it right. We're safer than the grocery store, because I go in these grocery stores, and I promise you, I don't feel a lot safe in them. Maybe you do, but maybe I don't. I'm going to tell you that right now. I feel a lot safer in the house of God. I love you. Oh, man, do I love you. My time is leaving. I got to go. Can you come hear me preach in the morning? Would you please come? Don't be scared to come to church. The Lord will take care of you. I really believe that. If you live right, and don't grab everybody you see. Keep your distance. Wash your hands. I mean, God is going to give us a good day tomorrow, and I can hardly wait. God is going to give us a good day tomorrow, and I can hardly wait. I love you. Let me share a little song.
Strange and different stirring that I'm feeling down in my soul.
Listen,
I feel God's Spirit telling me, prepare, get ready to go. May no spot or wrinkle in sight. It's almost over, you're soon to be at home. I thank God for his stirring that I'm feeling down in my soul. I feel his spirit telling me, you better get ready to go. Make sure your lamp is burning bright, no spot or wrinkle in sight. It's almost over, you're soon to be at home. Lord, help me lay aside any weight that's holding fast to me. Please cleanse this waiting vessel to face eternity. With leaving time so close at hand, Lord, help me not to stray, but keep my eyes on you and walk the narrow way. I thank God for his stirring that I'm feeling down in my soul. I feel his spirit telling me, you better get ready to go. Make sure your lamp is burning bright, no spot or wrinkle in sight. It's almost over, you're soon to be at home. I thank God for his stirring that I'm feeling down in my soul. I feel his spirit telling me, you better get ready to go. Make sure your lamp is burning bright, no spot or wrinkle in sight. It's almost over, you're soon to be at home. It's almost over, you're soon to be at home.